From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that focus on the Savior Himself, as revealed in His teaching and miracles, His atoning death on the cross, and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. We are here taught the great lesson that to get, we must give, that to accumulate, we must scatter, that to make ourselves happy, we must make others happy, and that in order to become spiritually vigorous, we must seek the spiritual good of others. In watering others, we are ourselves watered. How? Our efforts to be useful bring out our powers for usefulness. We have latent talents and dormant faculties, which are brought to light by exercise. Our strength for labor is hidden even from ourselves until we venture forth to fight the Lord's battles or to climb the mountains of difficulty. We do not know what tender sympathies we possess until we try to dry the widow's tears and soothe the orphan's grief. We often find in attempting to teach others that we gain instruction for ourselves. Oh, what gracious lessons some of us have learned at sick beds! We went to teach the Scriptures. We came away blushing that we knew so little of them. In our converse with poor saints, we are taught the way of God more perfectly for ourselves and get a deeper insight into divine truth. So that watering others makes us humble. We discover how much grace there is where we had not looked for it, and how much the poor saint may outstrip us in knowledge. Our own comfort is also increased by our working for others. We endeavor to cheer them, and the consolation gladdens our own heart. Like the two men in the snow, one chafed the other's limbs to keep him from dying, and in so doing kept his own blood in circulation and saved his own life. The poor widow of Zarepta gave from her scanty store a supply for the prophet's wants, and from that day she never again knew what want was. Give, then, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and running over.
Praise my Savior, praise my Savior, praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord, praise to the Lord, praise to the Lord, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. For He is thy health and salvation. Praise the Lord, all ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, praise to the Lord, praise to the Lord, praise to the Lord, praise my soul.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called In Agonies and Blood. As we've seen, the glory of Christ is revealed at Calvary. He died to purchase a redeemed people and to defeat Satan. Though suffering unimaginable pain, Jesus did so sinlessly, something no other man had ever done. In his death, he was submissive to the Father's will. Rather than focusing upon himself, Christ thought of others, such as Mary, his mother, and the penitent thief. Best of all, he suffered successfully, fulfilling God's demand for the salvation of sinners. Those who believe in him will have release from death and entrance into heaven, all achieved through the death of Jesus. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, In Agonies and Blood.
If you want to see the glory of God's holiness, the glory of God's justice, the glory of God's faithfulness, the glory of God's ineffable love, the glory of God's salvation, if you want to see the glory of God, then go to Calvary. God, open our eyes to behold His glory. Jesus died to glorify God. He suffered this. Verse 31 of John 12, for the utter defeat of Satan. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And he did it to draw all men to himself. If I be lifted up from the earth, that's the crucifixion. I will draw all men unto me. And that's a statement of absolute promise. And by the way, it is one of those texts that Arminians don't like to deal with, because it proves that terms like all men are not to be taken, because the scripture doesn't mean it usually to be taken as speaking of every individual who ever lived. Jesus is not saying, when I'm lifted up, I'm going to save everybody who ever lived. But the all men are the all men of God's elect. They are the all men of Christ's purchasing. They are the all men of believers. They are the all men of the whosoever who come to Christ. They are the all men out of every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation. And he says, I'm going to draw them unto me. I die willingly. Why? Because my dying, my cross, will be the chief, indeed the sole means that the Holy Spirit will use to bring sinners unto me. Is there anything can move the heart like the cross of Christ? In gospel preaching, the cross must be central. Every great evangelist, every biblical evangelist, has always had the cross at the very heart of his preaching. You wonder at the success and the secret of a C.H. Spurgeon. He never strayed far from the cross. I have often noted this in the ministry of our moderator, Dr. Paisley, in his preaching. Whatever he was preaching on, if he was tired or having a tough time, I always noticed this. He made a beeline for the cross. When he was praying, he would pray around the cross. I've never met a man could plead the merits of the blood as he could pray at Calvary as he can. That's the secret. It draws men. You may not, as a Christian, be a great apologist. You may not be able to answer all the scientific and philosophical questions that people throw at you, but you know you can present the cross to them. Remember reading of a missionary who went to a very, very primitive people. And he felt, these people have no language. These people have no, at least no written language. They have no way that I can begin to translate the scriptures for them or do anything for them. I'm going to have to start. And so they're so heathen. I'll start with creation. I'll show God is the creator. And he went right through. And God's law and their sin. 2 or 3 years went by and there was nothing done. He's getting very, very discouraged. Till finally, he just presented the story of the cross. And those hardened hearts were melted. And those cheeks were stained with tears. And young sinners and old sinners, heathen sinners, pagan sinners, they knelt, drawn by the cross of Christ. I will draw all men unto me. Why did he do this? Why did he endure such agony? because there is a magnetism in the suffering of the Savior that cannot be found anywhere else. I will tell you very simply how he did it. I don't mean to give you the secret, how he was able to do it. No man can explain that. But I can say he suffered sinlessly. Now don't jump over that as a given. You remember Job? Job was a good man. Job was the best of men. Charismatics have told me, I've talked to someone, they've said that Job suffered as he did because he feared. So he was gripped with fear, and it was really because of his own sin, his own weakness. Well, that makes God a liar. God said, "Can you see my servant Job? There's none like him." And he suffered not because of his sin, but because of his holiness. When he lost his wealth, he didn't sin. Didn't get bitter. He lost his family. He simply said, "The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He still didn't in any way sin against God with bitterness. His wife came and she said, "Curse God and die. Say goodbye to God. Bid farewell to the God that would allow this to come in your life." And he still didn't sin. He lost his health. His body was a mass of sores. And that began to grind on him. Then came his friends, and with all their so-called good advice, they provoked and provoked until Job, the holiest of men, suffering in a way that you and I cannot begin to understand, provoked beyond anything that we can begin to comprehend, Job sinned against God. Spoke unadvisedly with his lips. Now follow the Lord Jesus Christ, suffering as Job could never suffer, in agonies that Job had never endured, provoked by Satan and provoked by Satan's minions to a degree that no human being had ever suffered. And then something that Job did not endure, the wrath of a sin-hating God. And through it all, he never sinned. He suffered sinlessly. He suffered submissively. For those dark hours were hours of deep soul crying to God. You get some of the Psalms that will tell you, give you an insight into what was happening. We have read part of the 22nd Psalm. I've referred to the 69th Psalm. We have sung from the 16th Psalm. These give you an insight into what was going on in the darkness as the Lord Jesus was lifting up his soul submissively, holding on to God until he could come to that place that I've already mentioned in the 22nd Psalm. In the depths of his agony, he could come finally to the place where he could say, "Thou hast heard me." The answer was certain. He suffered selflessly. John 19:27, we have him looking down from the cross, saying to Mary, "Mary, woman, behold thy son." And to John, "Behold thy mother." Can you imagine in that moment of excruciating physical, mental, and spiritual agony, the thought of Christ was still for someone else? Others. For Christ, it was always others. What does that say about the way many of us who profess his name live our selfish lives? Others. He suffered savingly. beautiful, beautiful transaction at Calvary. That after hearing the two thieves mock and curse, he hears the voice of one of them say, "Lord, remember me." I'm not going to preach on the dying thief. How did he come to faith? I don't know, but I will say this. Obviously, it was the gift of God. But I will say this. God uses means. And I think that God took the very blasphemies of the priests and used it as the seed to grow faith in that man's heart. Can you hear the priest say, "He saved others"? Here's a man not only in the edge of death, but in the edge of hell. And he's saying, "Lord, I'm suffering justly." Now he hears, "He saved others." He cries, "Lord." Do you realize that he was the only one in that crowd who owned the Lordship of Christ? "Lord, remember me." Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." How did he suffer? Savingly. And thank God there is a balm, a saving balm yet in the sufferings of the Savior, because he suffered successfully. John 19 and 30 said, "It is finished." And when he said finished, the Father said amen to that by doing two things. He rent the veil of the temple from top to bottom. And then the graves of many of the saints were opened. By that great earthquake, there was a splitting of the veil and a splitting of the tombs. Now the bodies of the saints did not then arise. Many of them arose in accompaniment with Christ's resurrection. But can you see that picture? The veil rent and the graves rent. God was saying amen to the "it is finished" of Christ. And release from death and entrance to heaven were both achieved by the sufferings of the Savior. The suffering Christ. Scripture asks the question, it's really a question that Jerusalem asks, but it's true in the mouth of Christ. "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? See and be if there be any sufferings like unto my suffering." Let me ask you this morning, are you one of those people that Dorothy Sayers was complaining about? You'd be squeamish to see a cat kill a sparrow, but you can hear the story of the sufferings of the Son of God with neither shock nor deep emotion. Or are you like John Newton, once stopped on your wild career by that shocking but saving sight of one hanging on the tree in agonies and blood? Pilate said, "Behold the man. Behold the man." I invite you to do that today. Behold the man. His agony purchased our atonement. His suffering procured our salvation. His cross alone can provide our crown. Behold the man. Have you ever looked, and the Spurgeon said, felt that you could look your eyes away looking on the man of Calvary? Have you ever felt that strange attraction of his cross. Today, my friend, there's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for you. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved. There's life for a look at Christ. And if you are saved, how do you live your life? How do you escape the selfishness and the endless round of worldly inanity and insanity? You've got to get to the cross. Oh God, give us eyes today to behold that wondrous cross. And the one who died in agonies and blood.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.